You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Continuing now with our series, Michigan's Juvenile Lifers, Who Gets a Second Chance? As you heard in the story before the break, Wayne County has over 150 juvenile lifers, by far the most in the state. As of today, only one of them, in fact, the only person among the 363 juvenile lifers in the entire state of Michigan, has gotten that second chance. On June 4th, 1975, 17-year-old William Washington and his 26-year-old co-defendant, Kenneth Rucker, robbed a record store. After a scuffle with the store owner, Mr. Rucker took the victim into the back room and shot him to death. That led to Mr. Washington receiving life without parole sentence for first-degree murder, as well as a second life sentence for armed robbery for his role as an aider and abettor. On November 17th of this year, 41 years after he went to prison, William Washington became a free man, and he is here with us now. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we have William's mother, Lizzie Young, here with him today. Lizzie, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for being here.
William, how has it been for you since you got out? Can you even put it into words?
No, I can't. I can't describe how 40 years of just wanting to be back with your family, sitting down eating a meal, you know, waking up in the morning, you know, good morning, greeting, you know. I hadn't realized how much I missed it until, you know, the 30th, 35th, and 40th year. You know, it's the 40th year that was really getting to me. So to be here now with my moms, you know, being interviewed is I can't describe that. I can't.
What has most surprised you, William, since you got out?
How, I don't know, I think I'll probably be getting a little philosophical, but how love really doesn't change. You know, the how I felt for my brother, my mom's years ago, you know, as a child, I still feel the same. It goes to the core. You know, the love I'm speaking about is when I was a child, how when I first was able probably to think about my mom's, how beautiful I thought, you know, that's the word, that's kind of the word to describe my feelings at that time, beautiful, beauty, you know. She was a very beautiful person to me, you know, and she still is now, you know. So that's what I mean by it's deep, it's personal, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to get that personal, but.
Let's go back a little, Lizzie. What was William like as a child and as a teenager?
Well, in a ordinary years, you know, you're going to have ups and downs. As a mother, whatever your kid do, you know, coming up wrong, whatever they do right or wrong, we still love our kids. We still love. That's a mother's senses, you know, that she still love her child. Up to today, you know, your kids not never, you don't get rid of them.
William, in your words, what were you like as a teenager?
Not a very good son, not a very good brother, grandson. I think my mom's was a very good mom's. I was just not trying to hear what, you know, the disciplines and what's best for the child stuff. You know, I really wasn't trying to hear that, you know, especially from my father, you know, so I would skip school, you know, just do what I wanted to do at a very young age, you know. So I would sum it up as not a very good son.
I'm wondering, William, what was in your heart and in your mind when, as a 17-year-old, and we think how young a 17-year-old is, there you were, and you heard that sentence, life in prison. What'd you think?
I think my mom's was more affected by it than I was. She started crying and, you know, kind of pleading with the judge. And I felt more saddened by that than the sentence itself, you know. So I didn't, probably because I didn't grasp the significance of it at that time, what that held for me for the rest of my life, you know. But that's what I remember about the sentencing, you know, feeling like my mom's is, you know, hurting real bad about it and how sad she was. That's how I remember my sentence.
Did you feel you deserved that sentence?
Yes, of course. Yeah, probably ever since I was 12 years old, 11, stealing from my mom's and my father. You know, just making my mom's life miserable, you know. So I remember a lot of things the stuff she just put up with me, you know, it's amazing, you know. So it's never changed, you know. Her love, her honor for me it has never changed. So that's just, you know, for me, that's the most fascinating thing about this whole journey. You know, my mom's and my brother, and how we went through this thing together, you know. So it's not just about me, you know. It's not about me.
So how have you changed in these 41 years, William?
I used to think when I would do my reflections, think back on my childhood, how I really didn't care about people or the stuff that I was doing to people. Mm-hmm. Now I'm able to just see that so clear what I was doing, what I was thinking about when I was doing it, you know. And, you know, you contrast that to the present, you know, it's like night and day, you know. So I know myself a lot more than I did then. I know a lot of my immature behaviors. I'm able to recognize them when they surface, you know. So So I'm more in tune with myself, I know myself.
Take me back, William, to just a few weeks ago, to the day that you were released from prison after being locked up for 41 years. Take us to that moment. What was in your heart?
It was me, as I approached this door. I approached this door so many times because that's where I first started, 1976 in Ionia. So I approached the door, going on a visit, waiting on them to come through the visit, you know. And so the door said they was coming through. I was like, can I see myself walking through that door? And I couldn't see myself walking through that door until I walked through the door. And when I peeked around the corner, I see my mom's peeking at the same time. So we peeking at the same time. And it was that, you know. It was when it was believable. It was real, you know. So
Lizzie, I think of all those visits you'd made and you had to leave him behind. How was it for you seeing him peeking around that corner and knowing that he was going to get in the car and go home with you?
It was so excited seeing him coming through that gate out peeping. I asked my son, I said, you see him? No, not yet. You see him? There he is. I said, okay. So when he came up through that gate and came up to me, I just gave him a big, big hug. And so I said that my wish came through at last.
You know, there are more than 360 people in Michigan who had the same sentence you did.
Right.
Life without possibility of parole. Some like you have gotten a chance at freedom, and most may not. Why do you think you got that second chance?
I don't know. It's probably because of the lot of hard work and sacrifice of people who's been working with the juvenile bill for the last 20, 25 years, you know. So, you know, you give a shout out to all the layers involved. So I don't think it was just, I just happened to be the first one to be released. It's not just about me, you know, it's about the 300 and more others and the victims and victims' families as well, you know. So it's just much more involved. You know, a lot of it has come through the forgiveness of these families that we victimized, you know, and traumatized and all that stuff. So it's through their efforts as well as not being opposed to us being released now, you know. So I think they are just as integral to this as anything else. Yeah.
And, you know, to that point, we know that people don't get a sentence of life without parole,
right,
unless they're part of a pretty horrible crime that results in loss of life. And so I think that there are people listening who probably believe that because you were involved in a crime like that, that you should not have been released. What would you say to them?
Well, I understand it, and I have no problem with them saying that. And, you know, the crimes I've committed, I wouldn't have any problem with remaining in prison for the rest of my life. I absolutely had no problem with that, you know. And so just being released from that, you know, or being free from prison, because you're never released from murder, whether you pull the trigger or not, being part of you know, that lifestyle, you're never free from it because you never forget about it, you know. So, but, you know, it's good being here. You know, and that's kind of something that it's real personal to me. So I'm not that comfortable with talking about it. So, yeah.
What are your plans now?
I'm a family person. My plan is to be with my family. You know, I really enjoy being with my family. That's all I ever wanted to do was to be with my family. You know, I'm talking about just go to sleep, wake up in the morning, you know, greeting my family with good morning, you know, like I do with my sister every morning, you know. So, and be a productive member of society. I think that's important, you know. So what my brother and my moms had established over where I'm living is they would clean the neighborhood. I mean, literally clean the neighborhood, how two or three houses down, vacant lots. And that's what my brother got me doing. And I was telling him it's a joy, you know, because I'm able to put some of my skill sets in play, you know. So it's a joy working around the house and the property, you know. It's a lot of space to take care, a lot of lawn to maintain, you know, a lot of groundskeeping work, which is labor intensive. And I love it, you know. And so if I can spend the rest of my life living next door to my brother, taking care of my mom's house and her lawn and the other lawns and vacant lawns, I'm good.
Well, we want to thank you both very much for sharing your stories and letting us know what has been in your hearts and minds through this this long 41-year journey that you've taken. We want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for being here.
That was William Washington and his mother, Lizzie Young. William is the first and so far only juvenile lifer in Michigan to be given a second chance.